welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Being in church and thinking about church a lot, you know, one of the questions that I often ask myself with wrestle with to an extent is, I wonder what this church would look like if Jesus was the pastor of this church. Not in a spiritual sense where he's leading and, you know, all of that is so true and we know he's real and we know his hand is upon us. But I wonder if he, week in and week out, would be standing here leading the service, deciding how we run our small groups, what we do here and what we do there. I wonder what this would look like. I wonder what our gatherings would be. I wonder what our church culture would look like. And obviously, the reason we ask that question is because we pray and we ask that the Holy Spirit would show us what it would look like so that we can, you know, facilitate that and bring that to pass. But one of the things that I'm pretty convinced about is that if Jesus, in that sense, was the pastor of this church or any church, someone said the other day, he felt really challenged when he was praying about his church, and he realized that if Jesus had a church down the road from his church might very well have more people in than Jesus' church. Not because he's a better pastor or anything, but just because he was so good at sweetening the gospel, at taking away the essence of dying to self, even as Christ dies to himself, so we can come to life. And God just challenged him about the fact that, you know, if Jesus was pastor of this church or church down the road, the message that he'd be preaching and the message that particular pastor was preaching would look very different. And one of the things that I'm pretty convinced about, if Jesus was the pastor of this church or any church, it would look different, number one. But one of the ways I believe it would be different is we wouldn't come here every week to listen to some guy speak, to him speaking. I don't think we'd come every week and Jesus would stand in front and give us a lecture. I think that there would be time and place for that. That would form part of what church would look like. But I don't think it would be that every week. And I just simply base that on, if I read the Gospels and I look at Jesus' life, there were times when he would stood and he would speak to the multitudes. But then there were times in which his ministry looked totally different. There were times when I think he would just be standing with people and just praying with the sick. There were times when he'd just have the kids come to him and he'd just do what Jesus did with the kids. And for the last while, those of you who are in church, you'd notice that we've been changing things just a little bit with that as the essence of just moving away from an experience where we come and it's a beautiful entertainment show and you sit there somewhere in your seat, the same seat that you sit in every week. And you get really upset when you come to church and somebody has taken your seat and you wait for them to stand up and worship and then you bump them along and you move their handbag one seat on so you can get your seat again. But away from that experience where we come and we sit in a seat and there's a show up here and we experience God in a sense and somebody gets up and they bring a nice word and then we leave. To a place where we engaging with each other a little bit more. And I'm saying a lot more than I wanted to say tonight, but that's also okay today. And one of the things that I just believe God just wants us to remind ourselves so often is this verse in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Once again, Paul speaking, and he holds this beautiful truth. He says, "For this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now that's the Apostle Paul right there speaking and saying, listen, there's a whole bunch of reasons why Jesus came, but one of them, very definitely, is that he came to save sinners. And I love the Apostle Paul's heart here. He's not saying he didn't come to save the sinners out there. He came to save the sinner in here. That Jesus came, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I'd like us this afternoon maybe to, if there's anyone here today, you just want to share and just say, this is what Jesus has come to save me of. That I can sit here today and I can stand here, I can be here today. And yes, I'm still growing in my salvation. It's a lifetime of working out my salvation with fear and trembling. But I can sit here today and I can partake of communion. And in doing that, my thank you is because Jesus has come to save me of fill in the blank. This is where I was, and one of the things that I love about this is, yes, he came to save sinners when we came to new birth, but he continues to save us because we continually need saving. It's not like a once-off thing that he comes and does in our life, and then we're done and dusted, and now we're perfect. As we grow in him, we realize that he's continually saving, and that's a pause here. I'm chief. You know, if we have to have a list of the worst sinner, Paul says, you know, I'm right at the top. And the reality is that's true for all of us. We're all right at the top of that list. And we like to think that some people are more at the top of the list than we are. But when we truly get honest with ourselves, you know, God, we're right at the top of that list. So if there's anybody this afternoon, you want to come and maybe just very briefly just share with the rest of us, just as we remember the cross of Christ, just to say, you know why I'm sitting here today is because Jesus did this. Last week, last month, last year, last decade, Jesus came, and this is what the cross means to me in my life as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ. Is there anybody who wants to come? I mean, just maybe for a brief moment, just come and share. Yes, Kwebus kom so lank. Anybody else, come and sit in this front row just so we can...
Hi. Last week, after we did the service, after when we're done, we usually save the stuff at the back. So then we're joking around about how we should save the sermon as Philip's scandal, or like a scandal about Philip. And then we're talking about how how many people will actually go and like rush to open it up and see what's in it. And then when I got home, I was like, I wonder what Philip's, what's the first thought that would be in Philip's head when he sees the title? Like, what would be his biggest fear that would be in there? And I also wonder then, what would my biggest fear was a folder about my life? What would I be most scared of that a folder like this exists about me? And I just realized that, I don't exactly know what's scandal and what's not exactly scandal, so people would have to entertain themselves. But the one thing I knew was that the shame would be gone regardless of what's inside there. I wouldn't have any shame about anything that anyone wants to know about my life. And shame has always been a big deal for me, and just that realization was quite a big thing for the cross. Yes.
I just felt like I want to share just about our wedding last year, September, and everything leading up to it. I don't know. She just got me going. I was also abused when I was little, and I was also molested for many years and very broken and lots of hurt and unforgiveness and many things. And I don't know why it's all coming back today. But and then John started pursuing me, and he was just so faithful in it. And I had so many issues and so much stuff to work through, and I really couldn't have done it without Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have been married without Jesus Christ, and I wouldn't have been able to be a wife, and I wouldn't have been able to be real and be myself. And that was the biggest thing before I got married. I didn't know how I was going to be real with someone else, and how I was going to be free and be myself, and how I was just going to be who Jesus made me to be. I felt like I always had been someone else, and how was I going to be a new person, and how was I going to deal with being molested and all the things, and was I going to carry it into my marriage? Was I not? Like, I had all these questions, and the only prayer that I had before I was getting married was, Jesus, you have to come and and make me ready, and you have to come and prepare me, and you have to come and make me able to be real and to be free. And he did. Like, I don't know, from our first wedding night, like, it was just like Jesus just, he took away everything. And, like, I can just be a wife and a friend, and I don't know, I just have this amazing husband, and I don't know how to put it into words. Like, I didn't really want to come up because I didn't know how I was going to put it into words, but I just want to say that God can heal everything, and you just have to ask him and lay it down and lay it down, and he will come and make you a new person. And he did, and I want to give him all the glory, because I wouldn't be where I am now, and I won't be where I'm going to be one day without him. And I want to give him glory, because he's the healer, like Kuba said, and he redeems and he delivers, and he works all things together for the good of those who believe in him. And I just want to thank him for sending John. And I want to thank him for making John so patient and so faithful. And I want to thank him for healing my heart and making me a new person. And I just want to give him all glory. And even in my family, like, there's been so much healing. And I just want to share this quickly. I have this cousin, and he's just, he's been just a bit of a difficult child. And he he's a bit slow and stuff. And he had a difficult upbringing. And he came to live with my parents because he was getting into drugs and porn and a whole lot of stuff, and he was struggling. So he came to stay with my parents, and he had no work ethic. He couldn't get up in the mornings to go to work or anything. And my parents just started helping him, and he started going to church. And this was about probably like 6 years ago. And he started working at a video shop and earning like less than the basic, the normal salary, like earning nothing. And he just learned like a work ethic and how to go there every day and, you know, to get up on time and work. And then God moved him after a few years to another job at this computer company, and they started training him. And then a few days ago, he got a job at a huge company in Joburg, where he earns like double the salary that he used to earn. And it's just now he can move out of the house and start his own thing. And it's just glory to God, because he brings people that, or people that were nowhere and had nothing. He just lifts him up. And without him, we really are nothing. And I just give him glory for my family's life as well. Thank you.
The Lord told me last year that, is it on? The Lord told me last year that I would have to share my testimony one day, and I should prepare myself, but I'm not prepared at all. I was to come from a broken home. My father was an alcoholic, and my parents got divorced when I was a year old. And my mom got remarried, and it was fine in the beginning, but my mom suffered from major depression, and when I was 13, I also went into major depression, and I grew up cutting myself and hating my life. And I knew God, and I knew he existed, and I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't apply that to my life at all. And I got to varsity, and things just were a mess, and I slept around, and like, I kind of figured one day I'd get married just because I was pregnant or because it was the thing to do. And in 2010, CS came and he did a sermon, and he did an altar call, and at that time we had just been in a house robbery, and he said specifically, he said, like, there are people who have been hurt recently and they must please come to the front. And he was walking up and down, and he stopped specifically at me, and he said, those five men that came into your life, they're never coming again. And at that time I was in my fourth year of medicine, and I hadn't told anyone, but I was just finishing my year, and then I was leaving. And C.S. said, and he really feels the Lord say that whatever I'm doing right now in my life is his purpose for me, and I need to stay in it. And in 34 days, C.S. is going to marry me to the most amazing man who has forgiven everything. And we started dating, and two days after he asked me out, he went to Rwanda, and the Lord said to me, you have to tell him, you have to confess to him everything. And so when he came back, I told him. And he said, have you repented of your sin? And if the Lord has forgiven you and he doesn't remember, then who am I to remember that? And I just really want to praise God, because his cross to me means redemption. And when we did F4 last year, the Lord, like, I was so broken just with this thing, because I was like, how can I have this good thing in my life and I've done so much wrong? And like, just, I was just feeling so ugly. And the Lord just gave me a vision And I was standing in his throne room, and all the angels were around. And, like, I had this dirty, dirty rag on, like, just brown, and my hair was dirty, and I couldn't even lift my face. I couldn't look at the Lord. And then God called my name, and I had to go stand in front of him. I had to stand in his throne room. And Jesus read out the scroll of all my sins. And every time he read something out, he said, "I've forgiven you for this, and I love you." And as he said this, like, the dirt just came out of my clothes, and I had this beautiful white wedding dress on, and I was pure and I was whole, and I just want to praise the Lord for what he has done, because he has taken all of my past and all the bad stuff, and he's given me hope. And it's just because of him that I can believe that this life is good. And there's a song by Bethel Church, and she sings, "You're my victory, Jesus," and that is the only thing that I can boast of in my life, because nothing that I've done has brought me to this point. It is just him, and he is everything in my life. He is my only satisfaction and my one true joy, and I just praise him for everything that he's done in my life. And I wouldn't be here at all without him, and I wouldn't be getting married to an amazing man in May. And I'm just so thankful for who he is, and I'm so thankful just for the love that he has, and that his love covers a multitude of sins.
Well, thanks so much, everyone, for sharing. It's cool to remember. We know it, but it's cool to know that we actually serve a God who's alive and he's involved in our lives. And it's just, I'm so, so encouraged by that. And I'm going to ask Peter and Callista to come up. Most of us know them pretty well. And Peter is, and Callista are very involved in church, and talk about that another day. But as you can see, it's actually three people walking up right now. And they getting towards the end of the pregnancy, and just went for a routine check in the week. And after a series of tests, realized that little Eben has got a tear in his diaphragm, which has caused some of his ingewandes, intestines, to move up through the diaphragm, and his liver's pushed up in as well. And there's some complications around the lungs and not having space, and the one lung seems to be collapsed. I'm not quite too sure about that. So on Tuesday morning, they're going for a cesarean section, and then the plan is to immediately, or as soon as possible, to operate on Eben and to patch that up and see if they can get the lungs working and all of that stuff. But fortunately, we don't even need to operate on this baby. Obviously, you know, God works in many ways. But one of the ways he works is just by touching little babies in wombs. And I'm going to ask Madeleine, just before we pray for them, just Madeleine to come and share just the last couple of weeks, and prayed for another couple, and a year or two before that, we prayed for another couple. And we like praying for babies around here.
I just want to testify on God's faithfulness in healing us and healing small babies. We had a friend in our cell group whose unborn baby was diagnosed with the Edwards syndrome. Now, those of you who don't know, it's a very, very rare syndrome, but when the baby gets born, he only lives for about an hour, then he dies. So she came to our cell group, and at the first visit, we asked if we could pray for a baby, and we prayed, and the Lord healed the baby there on that day. And she still got the proofs of the sonars that the baby was, malformed and everything. And they are here tonight. They said I can ask them to stand up. They're at the back there. Their baby boy is now a big three-year-old. There he is. Yes, and all the glory to God. He healed him, and he's really a blessing to them. And so about a month ago, we found out that family of mine, their unborn baby was also a growth dysfunction. So we asked Heidi and her husband to come and pray for them. We
We asked them and our cell group to just put their phone together for them. So we prayed for them, and when they went for this for their followed up at the doctor, they also said that the growth was much better than was expected. So we're still trusting the Lord for full healing for their baby in May, which is due for May. So that's why let's put our faith together for Peter and Calissa as well, for their unborn baby to be healed 100%.
Amen. So if we can all just stand and just extend our hands towards them. I mean, Father, we want to thank you this afternoon that you, as we've heard and so many different ways, you're the God of redemption and restoration and healing, Lord. And God, you have come in every one of our lives, and you are healing and you are restoring, God. God, you reach down from heaven and you're extending your grace into our lives in so many powerful ways, Lord. And we thank you, God, just for the testimony of the way in which you've healed so many babies already, Lord. God, Corbus' testimony, Lord, and so many others that we know that, Holy Spirit, you have moved powerfully, Lord, to bring to realization the power of the cross of Christ, Lord. And Lord, even as we prayed for them in the week, and we've been praying for Peter and Calista and little Eben, God, right now we just bring Eben before you as well, Lord. And we pray that Holy Spirit, you touch, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you heal, that you restore, Lord. You know much better, God, than any doctor what's going on inside of there, God. You know much better than any scan would reveal. God, you know exactly, Lord Jesus, what's going on with his diaphragm, Lord, with his lungs, with his intestines, his liver, and everything else that seems to be misplaced, Lord. But we pray, Holy Spirit, right now you do a creative miracle. Yes. That you touch, that you restore, that you heal, God. That those doctors, God, would be so surprised when the baby comes out, God, that they wouldn't be able to reconcile even to his scans, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God. That they would be totally confused, and all Peter and Calista would be able to say is Jesus, Lord. Yes. God, that your name would be glorified and magnified through this. But also, God, we know that it's your heart to heal and to touch this baby. So we ask right now that, Jesus, you do exactly that.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you already did everything on the cross, Lord God, for this baby's healing, Lord. And we trust you for Eben's full healing, Lord Jesus. I just pray for every organ and every cell in his body to be in perfect order now and in perfect function now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for your peace upon this baby, Lord. And we pray for your peace upon Peter and Calista now in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord God, that we can just trust you and look forward for a great miracle, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Father, I just agree and I just pray for order. I pray order over this, over everything, over the physiology of what's going on. Lord, that you just restore Eben's every little detail. God, I just agree with Philip that when the doctors see this baby, that it will be perfect, oh God, and that it will be a testimony. Father, we thank you that we can trust them into your hands this week, and that you are not off caught off guard of anything, Lord. You are in control, and we can trust them completely in your hands, Father, and also Eben. That we know that you are complete control here, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I mean, that's a little boy that God's still going to use so powerfully. Last night at the wedding, I mean, I was just so moved. One of the friends that at one stage got up and he said, you know what, he's so excited about this wedding as much as he's excited about the couple coming together. But he can't wait to see the couple that got married last night, to see their kids on their wedding. Just what God's going to do in the lives of God-fearing parents who raise up their children in the ways of the Lord. The way that God's going to use those kids that are going to come out of that marriage. And, you know, it's the same with little Eben. God's got an incredible plan for that kid's life. God wants to use him powerfully. Let's keep praying for him. And I love what Corbus shared earlier. That, you know, he had a situation in 5 years of prayer. So often we forget that John 5:16, it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we know about effective fervent prayer and all of those things when it comes to big warfare and everything else out there. But sometimes we forget that the verse right before that speaks about healing. That the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That verse is given in the context of physical healing to a body. So let's continue to pray. And, you know, you're not going to overheal the kid. So keep praying that God would do whatever he needs to do, and just bless the kid and their family in this week and throughout whatever's going to be happening this week, that God's favor would just rest so so powerfully upon all they are and all they do. And then before we close, I'd like to ask if we could just turn groups of 3 to 4 again. And you know, perhaps you here and you've got an area in your life that you just want to share about and say thank you to Jesus for, but you didn't quite have the courage to come and stand up front here and tell everybody. But you maybe just want to share with 3 or 4 people. Then take the freedom and the liberty to do that. And maybe in the same way, there's something in your life that you really wish someone could pray for you about. Maybe there's a struggle. Maybe there's something you trust in God for. Maybe even as you're sitting here today, you've got sickness in your body and you're trusting God to heal that, to bring restoration in your family, or maybe just to give clarity or healing or wash your shame away, whatever it may be. That's the God we serve. We can pray for one another exactly for that. So if we're going to do that, and turn to one another and take your time, share, and just in your group say thank you to Jesus for whatever it is that you want to say thank you for. Maybe you here and you want to say, you know, I don't even know Jesus. I've heard much about him, but I've never had the experience of him coming into my life and transforming me, you know, giving me a new life, as some of the people shared about, I got saved, I come to know Christ. But you've never had that. Ask someone to pray with you in the group and introduce you to Jesus. Or whatever it is that you need someone to pray with, let's take a bit of time and have church together this evening as we pray for one another and we trust the Holy Spirit to move in our midst as we remember the cross of Christ. Then once you're done with that, there's coffee and tea outside. Feel free to join us, especially if you're visiting. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And then have an incredibly blessed evening. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the holiday tomorrow. And thanks so much for coming. But before we go, let's turn to one another and spend some time praying. Amen. God, I thank you just for this incredible time that we could have had and we're still going to have together. We thank you for the powerful testimonies of your hand that's been at work in our lives, Lord. And we pray and we thank for God for the expectation of the testimony of Eben's life and what you have done and going to continue to do there. And the peace and the freedom over Callista and Peter's heart and their mind and everyone here. God, I just bless them in the name of the Lord in Jesus. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like